Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Brajapakshi Mahima, the glories of the birds of Vrindavan. We heard about the parrots and different kinds of birds yesterday, parrots and cuckoos. And today we're going to show our respect to all these exalted, warbling, chirping, tweeting creatures of Vrindavan by turning the page to chapter 4, verse 96. And this is all about offering obeisances to the birds. Because we heard about when you hear about the glories of someone, then naturally, if someone is very glorious and very exalted and opulent and has extraordinary talents and skills, to hear about that person generally evokes a sense of respect or reverence. When you hear the distinguishing qualities of an exalted being, so we heard about the distinguishing qualities of the exalted beings, the devotees of Vrindavan in the form of cuckoos, parrots, cranes, and swans, and how they sing dramas and poetry and Bhagavatam, chapters of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatpat. They sing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, and they're intimate contributors to the prema-filled leelas of Radha and Krishna, Madhurya Bhav, and the kunjas of Vrindavan. So hearing all those wonderful glories, Ascharya Mahima, then our natural response is to bow our heads at their feet and to pray for their mercy. Generally, religious or pious people, they are very keen and desirous to meet exalted spiritual personalities. And they generally have some motive. They go to visit them or take darshan and pray. They offer obeisances and some seva, some pranami, donation. And they beg for some mercy. Please bless me, or please give me success in my school or business, or bless my son or bless my daughter with a child, etc. So we're hearing about the glories of the birds of Vrindavan. So we want to fall at the feet, fall at the talons of the birds, the talons, whatever you call, bird feet, I think it's called talons. Fall at the talons of the feet of the birds, the talons of the parrots, and offer obeisances in the dust of their talons, and beg for their mercy. Anatendu chich chandrika sindhu magnan, ananta sa shobha chamatkara dharan, anant anuragar harer vivalangan, vihangadikan nomi vrindavanstan. Anatendu chich chandrika sindhu magnan, ananta sashobha chamatkara dharan, anant anuragir harer vivalangan, vihang adikan nomi vrindavana stan. Oh, that's beautiful. Stan. Vihang adikan nomi vrindavan stan. Very beautiful meter. I offer my respectful obeisances to the birds of Vrindavan. Nomi Vrindavana Stan. Vihan. Those birds are merged in an ocean of the spiritual rays of unlimited moons. Anant. Endu means rays of the moon. Anant. Unlimited rays of the moon, Chandrika, moon rays, Sindhu, Magna, and they're merged in the Chandrika, Sindhu, the unlimited rays of the moon beams. Ananta Swashobha Chamatkara Dharan. Those birds are unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Srihari. So these are the wonderful qualities, again summarized, of the Brajapakshi Mahima, the glorious birds of Vrindavan, are so much integral to Radha Krishna's Nitya Lila. be it aprakrita lila or prakrita lila, invisible lila or visible pastimes. And they have these wonderful qualities that are fully illuminated by the spiritual rays of surrender. They're illuminated with that and they're beautiful. And they're overwhelmed with ecstatic love. These are all three desirable qualities for any devotee to possess, to be illuminated by the spiritual rays of unlimited moons of devotional service, and to become beautiful in bhakti, and become overwhelmed in ecstatic love for Sri Hari. So then we pray for these qualities or these attainments from these birds. Oh, you have this, so please bless me. That I can be merged in the ocean of the spiritual rays of unlimited moons. Moons of bhakti, moons of devotion. 494, let's see another translation here. Let me praise Vrindavan's birds and other creatures who are plunged in the ocean of limitless moonlight. Plunge is a nice word. I like that word, plunged. Instead of merged. Yeah, merged is like Mayavad. They're plunged into the ocean of limitless moonlight, flooded with the wonder of limitless beauty and overcome with limitless love for Lord Hari. Vival, Hari, Anurag. Hari, Anurag, Vival, Ananta. So this is a nice point. Overcome with limitless love for Lord Hari. Vival means overcome, overwhelmed. Anurag. Ananta Anurag. Ananta Anurag. Unlimited Anurag for Hari. Ever new expressions of mellow devotion and dedication. These are the birds of Vrindavan. The birds are so exalted. Eventually our progress here will lead us to the gopis and to Radha and to the Manjaris. We can only imagine how dedicated they are and how plunged they are in the ocean of ecstasy at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now this is obeisances to Vrindavan, which is the home of many birds. Chapter 5, verse 58. Because if it wasn't for Vrindavan, there wouldn't be any birds here. Birds like trees, as you know. There's no trees, there's no birds. Well, sometimes they take buildings for trees. Nowadays, the Kali Yuga birds have realized that if we were attached to trees, we're going to become extinct. So they used to make their nests in trees. Now they make them under air conditioners and stuff. You have an air conditioner, and underneath the air conditioner, some pigeons make a nest right on the ground. Right on the veranda, on the floor. Usually, birds always make a nest on the branches of a tree. Now, pigeons are practical. In Delhi, there's no trees. There's lots of air conditioners sticking out of verandas. So they, underneath the air conditioner, they make a nice, it's nice and warm there also. They lay their eggs and sit on their roost till little pigeons hatch out and fly away. So let's read this verse 558. Kaival yad yakilarta tutkriti krita kechin mahabudayo yogindra kagarupatam avagata nindanti yach chakishu samyak praspurjitais chayukti nivahe sarvarta tat sarana Tianto cheda krit uchake kalakalas tam nomi rindatavim. After spitting at the four objectives of life, headed by the liberation of merging into the effulgence of Brahman, dharma, art, kam, mukti, kaivalya mukti, some most intelligent yogis have taken the form of birds in Vrindavan, and now they're happily residing on the trees of Vrindavan. It appears that by their chirping, the chirping sound of the birds, these birds are refuting with reason and argument the superiority of the Chatur Purusharta, the four goals of life. And these birds extremely, and there are extremely devastating results of these material objectives of life, or these mundane objectives. I offer my obeisances to that abode of Vrindavan, which is the home of all these realized birds that are happily absorbed in Krishna consciousness and preaching Krishna consciousness to the Mayavadi extremists. It often says that Mayavadis become trees. So the birds are living on the trees, the devotional yogi birds. The yogis of devotion are living on the bhakti yogi birds. They're bhakti yogi birds, BYB. Bhakti yogi birds are living on the tree and they're preaching to those Mayavadi trees. Why you want to merge? With all reason and logic. Once our god brother, Achyutananda, he returned from India and he went to New Vrindavan. And he was quite a strong person, I guess. At least a little outdoors type. Although he's from New York City. And he went out to the forest with a chainsaw. It's kind of easy, actually. Chainsaw is an electric saw for cutting down trees. And he was cutting down trees, clearing a large area on top of one mountaintop to build a temple, some particular seva for the project. And then someone asked him, he said, "Chutananda, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm cutting down Mayavadis." Because he was smiling when he was doing it, smiling and really relishing, cutting these trees down, which would, of course, the wood of the trees would be used to build things or furniture or beds or be planed into boards. They had their own sawmill there, so they were making their own boards and they would build a temple with the trees they cut down. They didn't simply cut down the trees and bring in a bunch of bricks. They built with the wood also. So his reply was, "I'm cutting down Mayavadis." When he stopped, the god brother said, "You seem to be relishing this chainsaw tree cutting down business to make a clearing for the construction of the new temple." He said, "Yes, I'm relishing. These are all Mayavadis. I'm cutting them down, liberating them from their misconceptions." Mm-hmm. So the sound of his chainsaw was like the chirping of the birds in Vrindavan, preaching with all logic and reason to the Mayavadi trees. Of course, the trees are also devotees. We heard that discussion. The Vriksha Mahima. So on those trees, there's creepers wrapped around those trees, and every leaf of every creeper and every leaf of every tree also is chanting Shri Radha, Shri Radha. So obviously the trees in Vrindavan, like the birds sitting on the branches, they're also devotees. The most exalted Madhurya Mayi Bhaktas are chanting Radha Nam day and night. And some trees, they even manifest the name of Radharani on their trunks. In Tadiyastan, where the Tadiyastan sadhus, the Vairagi branch of Swami Haridasa's followers, they lived there, and up until recently, I don't know now, but they refused to have electricity there and then any modern facility. They go out to the fields and pass and bathe here. I think they have hand pumps, but maybe not, I don't know. So they're very austere. Of course, they do take bong, but that seems to be one little extra feature. But they're very austere, and they're absorbed in their bhajan. And there are trees there in their ashram. You can see, it's right near the Parikrama Marg of Vrindavan, before the Jagannath temple, I think so, the big temple of Jagannath out there on the Parikrama Marg, Vrindavan. And in that ashram and those trees, you look on the bark and you see in Hindi it's written Radhe Radhe. Way up top, it's appearing in the trunk of the different trees. So some people say when the trees were small, somebody carved Radhe Radhe in the bark and then the tree grew up and the name went up to top, or I don't know, whatever. Anyway, it's there. So in this way, there's magical things in Vrindavan. But this certainly extends our vision of the birds of Vrindavan. This is our last verse describing the Braja Pakshi Mahima, the glories of the birds in Vrindavan. That changes our outlook. They're devotees, they're serving the Lord by their singing. And when they're singing, we hear from bhajans by Narottam Das and others. They say, well, when will I sit in a kunj in Vrindavan and hear the birds in the trees reciting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? He has a kada prayer like that in his prarthana. When will I sit in a kunj underneath in a kadamba kunj in Vrindavan and hear the birds singing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? Obviously, the parrots and cuckoos, especially the parrots, are singing and chirping in so many different tunes, but it seems to be unintelligible communication and language to us human beings. But for the realized souls, the advanced devotees, they can understand that the pastimes are being told by these birds. So that's one point, the service and what they're doing while they're singing. But another point we heard in this discussion is the identity of these birds, other than being devotees, but actually they're great yogis who have happily taken birth here in Vrindavan as birds in the trees to sing and glorify Radha and Krishna. And that position to be a yogi bird in the trees in Vrindavan is much more desirable and much more glorious than merging in Brahman. So generally yogis are associated with Brahma Sayujya, Mukti, Brahma Kaivalya. There are a handful of devotional yogis or Paramatma yogis, but they're rare. But even then, they may accept Paramatma, but still desire the goal of merging. They accept the personality of God, but they rather float around in his effulgence. They're non-offensive. So they float there, they remain there as jivas, conscious particles of the effulgence of Narayan, and they rather like that position. But the majority, they want to just lose all their existence. But these yogis, those are most intelligent yogis. They want to live in Vrindavan, even as birds, and glorify Radha and Krishna. So we offer our obeisances in the dust of the talons of these parrots and cuckoos and the webbed feet. We offer our obeisances in the dust of the webbed feet of the swans, their webbed feet, the webbing, or paddling under the water. And under the water they go like this, so there's their hands like a flat, like a paddle. Between their toes, this is a webbing. This is called webbing, but they have a big one, so it becomes almost a solid. Inside the webbing is their little individual fingers. So they can paddle across the Yamuna, paddle across Radhakund, and create such a beautiful scenery for the pleasure of Radha Krishna. And incite so many poetic expressions from Krishna, comparing Radharani's movements to the movements of a swan. Oh, Radharani, just see the swan gliding across the Radhakund. The swan, the way you walk when you walk on Avisara, looks so much more glorious and sweet and charming than even that royal swan, that Rajahamsa, cruising across the waters of your kund. You see the swan? So in this way, the birds are offering so many wonderful services. So we'll leave the birds in the trees, warbling and chirping and singing. And now we're going to discuss the Braj Surabhi Mahima, the glories of the cows of Vrindavan. Of course, that verse we didn't read another translation. Let's see. This is verse 558. And we have to read this other translation. Maybe we'll get more insight into the whole thing. Where, spitting on impersonal liberation and all material goals, certain very intelligent yogis rejoice by becoming birds in that Vrindavan. And these yogi birds stay on the branches of the trees in Vrindavan, and they coo a tumultuous barrage of eloquent logic that crushes the importance of material life and material work. This is a rather nicely written entry here. They coo a tumultuous barrage of eloquent logic. So when you hear the cooing of the birds, don't think it's merely chirping or warbling. It's actually eloquent logic. And if you are attached to material life or material work and you can perceive the logic of their cooing and warbling, you may give up your material life and become a devotee of the Lord and start chanting and not cooing. Start chanting Krishna's name in concert with their cooing of eloquent logic and reason. Chapter 1, verse 12. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. This is the glories of the Surabhi cows, the Braj Surabhi Mahima, the glories of the cows of Vrindavan. This is 1.12. Brahmanandam avapya tivra tapasa samyak prasad yeshwaram gorupa sakala iho panashada krishne ramante braje Brindaranya Trinam tu Divya Rasadam Nityam Charantyo Nisham Radhakrishna Vadam Jotama Rasasvadena Purnastita Brahmanandam Avapya Tivra Tapasa Samyak Prasad Yeshwaram Gorupa Sakala Iho Panishada Krishne Ramante Vraje Brindaranya Trinam tu Divya Rasadam Nityam charantyo nisham Radha Krishna padam bhujottama rasa swadena purnastita. Even though the Upanishads have attained impersonal bliss by performing severe austerities and properly worshipping the Supreme Lord, they have become Krishna's cows in Braj and thus attained transcendental bliss. They eat the Vrindavan grass, which is full of transcendental rasas, and constantly relish the mellows of Radha Krishna's lotus feet. So I guess we should start drinking wheatgrass juice in Vrindavan. It's quite popular outside of India, even in India nowadays, that Vrindavan wheatgrass, because it's full of rasa. Trina Divya Rasadam. Brindaranya Trinam. The grass of Vrindavan is full of Divya Ras. Divya Rasadam. So start munching on that grass. And transcendental rasa. It will give you transcendental rasa. Nityam. Blissful. The cows. The cows are simply walking around munching. Munching and ruminating. Munching the grass and ruminating what they munched after passing it through their four chambers stomach or one chamber and comes up to the first to the mouth and munch again and swallow it and bring it back and munch again, re-munching. But that grass is contact at the feet of Radha and Krishna. Madhurya Ras. It's Madhurya Rasa filled grass, so much so that the Palinda women grab a few pieces of grass and rub it on their breasts, and all the fire of lust becomes totally pacified and cooled off because they that grass is full of the kunkum that fell off of Krishna's feet. Sri kunkumena. Kunkumena. Sri kunkumena. That kunkumena is called Sri kunkumena. And the acharyas say in Bhagavatam, Sri kunkumena can say beautiful kunkum or effulgent, valuable, attractive kunkum, but it actually means that kunkum from the breast of Sri, Srimati Radhika, which was picked up by Krishna's feet when Radhika held or embraced Krishna's feet to her breast. When Krishna walks on the hither and thither path, chasing his cows as they go here and there, they don't walk on the main path, then that Sri Kunkumena gets knocked off by the moist grass or the grass and stuck over there because of the os on the grass, which no one swept off. So the cows they're featured here. They're eating the grass. It's full of transcendental rasas, and they're constantly relishing the mellows. So everyone in Vrindavan is relishing Madhurya mellows, the sweet mellows of Braj. The cows, the grass, the Pulinda women, the birds. Somehow or another, everyone gets connected to the sweet flow of love that originates from the hearts of Radha and Krishna when they mix together in the kunjas. Another translation here in this first chapter. After attaining the platform of Brahman happiness by performing severe austerities, the personified Upanishads decided to worship Krishna without any reservation, and thus they obtained the mercy of Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, those personified Upanishads became Surabhi cows in the land of Braj, and then they got the direct association of Sri Krishna. And by constantly grazing on the grass of Vrindavan, they became filled with the nectarian taste of the topmost mellows of pure devotional service for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Well, the topmost mellows of pure devotional service is Unmad Mahabhav. This is the topmost mellow of bhakti, the madness of love that Radharani experiences when associating with Krishna. It's a division of Mohan Bhav. One type of enjoyment is Unmad. Go absolutely mad in the association of the Lord. So this is the glories of the cows of Vrindavan. They're Suravi cows. So we meet the cows of Vrindavan and we scratch behind their ears or rub their necks or backs. We should understand they're the personified Upanishads. They're extraordinary personalities. And we can whisper in their ears a little prayer that they will bless us, that we can relish. Please, like you, let us... You're eating busa all day, which is dried grass. It's dried wheatgrass. So wheatgrass is grass, whether it's green or dry. Grass is grass. Is a dried piece of grass still a trina? Yes. So grass is grass. So this trina, this grass, Vrindaranya trinam divya rasadam. The cows we see today, they're not so much wandering around. Sometimes they do. They nibble on the fresh grass in the monsoon season. Otherwise, throughout the year, they chomp on this busa, which is the dry, chopped up stalks of the wheat, of wheatgrass. And they're relishing by taking that dry busa, the totally desert dry busa, which they mix in a little water, sometimes a little soup made of mustard oil cakes. They take mustard oil cake and a big pot of water and cook it and make a mustard oil cake soup. It's highly recommended. And then they mix it in the busa. And the cows get a little rush when they take the busa with that, some sorsoka ras. But nevertheless, that grass that they're eating, when they eat that Vrindavan grass, it's full of transcendental rasas. And they're relishing the mellows of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. Radha Krishna Padam Bhoja Uttama Rasa Aswadana Rasa Aswadana Purna Stita. They're completely fixed in they're Purna Stita. They're completely fixed, fully fixed in tasting the Uttam Ras, the topmost Ras flowing from the lotus feet of Radha Krishna. That's we should be Purna Stita. We should be Purna Stita, completely fixed in that same activity that the cows of Vrindavan are fixed in. Eating a little simple food, simple living, thinking. The cows, they're giving a beautiful example of simple living and high thinking. Simple living generally means to eat very simple, plain, nourishing sattvic prasadam without overstimulating or even stimulating the senses with too much sugar and ghee and salt and these other tantalizing delights, delightful tastes. So they're eating the driest, bone-dry, busa, dried wheatgrass, but they're relishing rasa. The rasa mellows of the lotus feet, the uttam ras aswadana, swadena, aswad, rasa aswadana. They're relishing the uttam ras, the topmost madhurya ras, unmad, mahabhava, Radha Krishna's conjugal love. Eating something plain, simple, dry, but inside their heart they're relishing something so sublime and so sweet and so moist and mellow, the rasa mellows of divine love. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So the Bhakti Yogi, he's Vairagi because he's getting rasam. He's getting taste. So then he doesn't need Cadbury's chocolate bars. Some people try to say white chocolate is not chocolate. Somebody was arguing one time. He said, oh, white chocolate is not chocolate. naturally. The mind will give a million reasons to justify doing the wrong thing. That's worth noting down. The mind will give a million reasons justifying doing the wrong thing. And the guru is just telling you one thing, chant Hare Krishna. The mind is saying, what is this? The guru is telling you one thing. I'm giving you a million things to tell you something else. The guru is saying, look, I want you to do one thing. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. Guru says one thing. The mind gives a million reasons justifying the wrong thing. So this is the mind's a mental contribution. Oftentimes, in the Rotary Club and other of these social business clubs and whatnot, they recognize some member for his contribution. We like to call up Mr. Sunil Gupta for his wonderful contribution this year of donating 10 lakhs of his profits to help build an orphanage here in Delhi, this and that. And so they get some recognition for their contribution. So we should give some awards or recognition to our mind, our minds, for the wonderful contributions they've given us. I'd like to call up Mr. Mind, Mr. Mann, and give him some award because he made such a big contribution to keep me bound in the material world for the last 50 million years. So this is the one verse I have about the glories of the cows. And tomorrow we'll hear about we worked up to the cows, and of course we hear in the Vedas, they say that there's different human beings crawl up into the human form coming from different other forms. So one is a cow is generally, next birth is oftentimes takes birth as a human being in the mode of goodness. And a lion takes birth as a human being in the mode of passion. That's why they say he's a lion-like hero. They describe in Mahabharata the lion-like Bhishma, just that. A lot of passion there. So this is, we'll start Monday with the enchantment of the love land of play. A series of verses describing the enchantment of the love land of play, which is Vrindavan. And then some upcoming classes after that will be the dangers of men and women. That's always interesting. And then it'll go on to further topics. Braj is only for Raganugiya Bhaktas. And then they'll go on to Vrindavan Sakhi Mahima, the glories of the Sakhis of Vrindavan. And that's the beautiful contents of the Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which we hope someday fills our hearts and makes our hearts beautiful by featuring the ever-presence of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Our hearts and minds should be nothing but repositories of Braj Leela. Braj Dham, Rup, Gun, and Leela. This is the proper content of the heart and mind. Unfortunately, Kali has a different idea. He tries to take over the heart and mind and stuff it with all kinds of non-devotional inclinations and materialistic motives and ideas. So we have to borrow the danda from Nityananda's hand and beat Kali to dust and drive away Kali. Kali Kukur, the barking dogs of Kali. We must chase him out of our mind, taking shelter of Nityananda's danda. Nityananda has a danda, and it's not made of bamboo. It's called Loha Danda. It's an iron rod to beat up the iron man of Kali. Yes, to beat up the iron man of Kali. Nityananda has an iron rod, Loha Danda. So the iron man of Kali is none other than Kali personified, who sits in the mind and heart of every greedy materialist. So let's kick him out and beat him down with the danda of Nityananda. Vrindavan Dham ki jai.